This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, Never Put Out the Fire of the Holy Spirit, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on June 2nd, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
All right. This morning, I am excited to be back with you. Feel like I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. Can't wait to share it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 say these words. Never, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And don't be one who scorns prophecy. Let's pray. Father, speak to us this morning. Stir our hearts by your Holy Spirit's presence. Stoke a fire in us, God, that cannot be put out. Help us to be obedient to your word and move and work through us that you might touch and change others with your love in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning. I did a series a few weeks ago on the gifts of the Spirit. We had a lot of really good feedback on that and a lot of encouragement from you to bring some more messages along those lines. And I felt like this morning the Lord said to bring a word specifically on the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. And I want to really, this morning, I feel like this is a word that I believe should stir every heart in the room for something more from God, for something that he can and will do in and through you. Now, when you use the word prophecy, it evokes an emotion, a feeling in a lot of folks. It might scare some folks even. But it's found throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. There's a change that happens as we come into the New Testament. But I want to share a scripture as we start today. Numbers chapter 11, verse 29. Listen to this. This is an Old Testament reference to prophecy. And this is Moses. Moses was frustrated with the people. He's leading over a million people in the desert. There's a lot of challenges that have come into the midst of Moses' life and ministry, and somebody comes to him and says, Moses, there's a couple of men in the camp, and they're prophesying, and they're certain that Moses is going to rebuke them and shut them down, and a lot like the scenarios in the New Testament where the disciples would find something happening and come to Jesus, and they were just sure Jesus was going to shut it down. But here's Moses' reply in Numbers 11, 29. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Now, here's what I want to say to you this morning. Maybe you have never asked the Holy Spirit to move and work in and through your life, to come upon you in a way that you could literally be a prophetic voice into someone else's life. Maybe for some reason you have disqualified yourself, not thought that you were worthy, not thought that that was available to you. Let me just say to you, the church was birthed in power, the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I want us to look at it together this morning, and I want you to see it with fresh eyes. Acts 2, verses 16 and 18. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. Isaiah, you're going to prophesy. Timothy, you're going to prophesy. Jack, God's going to use you in prophetic ways. He is. Noah, Xavier, Landon, you're going to prophesy. Bible says that you can and that you will. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know what? I've got the ministry of naps. It's just part of, you know, I'm kind of enjoying that. It's good stuff. And God can speak to me in the midst of those naps. Thank the Lord. Even all my servants, both men and women, ladies, you're a part. You're not exempted by any means. We need you. You're the other half of the harvest force. We need our ladies empowered and moving in the power of the Spirit. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. These are those days. We're living in those days. And they will what? Prophesy. And they will prophesy. Hallelujah. Can I just ask the guys real quick in the booth, are the lights up where they're supposed to be? They seem a little dimmer than normal. Are they up where they're supposed to be? Okay. They kind of dimmed quite a bit there a minute ago, and I know for our sake of our live streaming, it's good if they're pretty bright. So here's what I want to say to you this morning. And it may be shocking to some of you today. But this is a promise. God's promises are tried and true, by the way. Journaled on that this week in our daily readings. Here's the promise for you from Scripture. From Scripture, you can prophesy. You can prophesy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can prophesy. Nothing wrong with this. This is a scriptural expectation. It's right there in the Word. The church is birthed powerfully by the outpouring of the Spirit 2,000 years ago. The same is there available for you and I as sons and daughters, as those who are afar off, the Scripture says, and you can prophesy. And this is incredibly important, and I don't want you to miss this morning. And by the way, did you notice in Acts 2 that the Bible repeats itself? As a parent, why would you ever repeat yourself to your kids? Do you ever find that you're not quite sure they got it the first time, so you say it again, right? Repeating yourself, it's kind of like yelling. It's kind of like raising your voice a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, emphasizing something. It's an important point to make, so you repeat it. Did you notice in Acts chapter 2, your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'll pour out, and then at the end verse, even on my servants, men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. There's something about prophecy that God wants to drive home here. There's something that's really important about it. There's something that in the Spirit, I see the Lord wanting to unlock something today in this congregation, in your heart, in your life, in your ministry. And some of you are going, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. You're living your life for Jesus, wherever it is, in your neighborhood, your workplace, and God wants to use you there. Amen? And one of the ways I guarantee you he wants to use you is speaking words of life that will touch other hearts. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21, let's look at it again. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise what God has revealed. Instead, test everything. Hold on to what is good. Some of you have grown up in a church tradition, and that is what it was. It was tradition that taught you that God is silent, that God is no longer speaking, that you can't even hear his voice or even receive direction from him anymore. But I'm here to tell you, the Apostle Paul himself had something very different to say about this. And not only does Paul say something very different about this, but so does church history. If you go through church history, there's always been a remnant of the prophetic where people were speaking the word of God and bringing it in such a way that it was challenging, stirring, and encouraging the hearts of his people. You might have grown up in a church tradition that shut the door on this, but I'm telling you, Scripture says the door is wide open. Scripture says you should desire to prophesy. Deeply desire. And I'll show you that in just a minute. Let me read the verse to you again from a different version. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test them all and hold on to what is good. Now, it's interesting the way the Greek words are formed here, the way these two thoughts are put together, that literally you could say to quench the spirit in Paul's words means to treat prophecy with contempt. You want to quench God's spirit? Treat prophecy with contempt. Ridicule prophecy. Ridicule prophetic words. Have a critical spirit. This morning, I've been a student of the church for a long time, and I love the church, and I love the church in all of its facets. And I think the church is absolutely beautiful and marvelous. But I'm concerned about the portions of the church today, and I'm using the word church with a capital C, that have literally disobeyed clear scripture when it comes to prophecy. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I bet if I said to you, how many of you know churches where prophecy is not allowed? I bet almost every hand in the room would go up. Where, if I were to ask you the question, how many of you know of a church where prophecy is treated with contempt because it's held down, it's repressed, it's never encouraged, and if it happened, by some strange means, it would probably be criticized, doubt cast upon it, and it would be done away with. Now, I think we've really missed something here. And I think we've got to wrestle with Scripture and what it says, because this isn't the only place that you're going to find in Scripture that Paul is a very strong advocate for you and I allowing prophecy to happen, because prophecy has something in it that is so important for the people of God. When you hear about spiritual gifts, church, please don't criticize them. Please don't treat them with contempt. Instead, do what Scripture says. Stir them up. Stir them up. Fuel the fire. Long for the presence of the Holy Spirit. When prophecy happens and someone gives you a word, test it. And hold on to that which is good, and that which doesn't align with your spirit, it doesn't align with God's word, then toss it aside. Some of you have maybe seen prophecy misused, but here's the key, folks. Please be careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Please be careful, because there is something powerful about the Holy Spirit alive and work through the church of Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit is good, and He gives what is good. He has words of life that will absolutely open doors and give direction and bring encouragement. We desperately need prophecy alive and well within the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us good gifts that are for our good and not for our harm. Can you say amen to that? Let me share three things about the gift of prophecy with you this morning. Three things. And I'd love for you to take some notes and really ask the Lord about this, because I do believe God wants to stir something in us today. Now, let me just stop and say to you that prophecy has been incredibly important in my own personal life. I could give you literally hundreds of examples where God has spoken to me, to my wife, to the two of us in prophetic ways that have unlocked things, that have encouraged us, that have comforted us, that have helped us along the way on this journey. I'll tell you, I don't know that I'd be alive without prophecy. I don't know that I'd be married to the right person without prophecy. I don't know that I'd be in ministry today without the gift of the prophetic. It literally has had that much impact on my life. Every time I've come to a crossroad, every time I've come to a place of deep discouragement, every time I've come to a place where I was questioning things, God's been faithful to send someone, not some Fruit Loop, but some man or woman of God who walks with God with a word that would bring encouragement and life to my spirit. Now, I'll tell you about one time in particular, and I use this to illustrate just how awesome our God is. There was a particular time in my life where I was at a crossroads. I was I was questioning, I was wondering about the call of God in my life, about the assignment of God in my life. And in about a month period, it just so happened that I was in three different cities. I was in Los Angeles, California. I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was in a rural part of Indiana, southern Indiana, within about a month's period. And in Los Angeles, I was in a class I'd even met. And the teacher, who some of you would know, my friend Dan Sneed, it was before I'd even met Dan, knew him personally. At some point in the midst of the class, Dan calls my wife and I out, has us stand up, and gives us a prophetic word in front of everybody gathered there. It was powerful. It shook me. It spoke to me in a powerful way that only the prophetic can. It stirred me. It encouraged me. It lifted my spirit. It was an answer, a confirmation, if you will, to the very things I was wrestling with. Leave Los Angeles. And I go to Cincinnati, Ohio to a convention, and I'm at a conference, and a person that I had great respect for came up to me, gave me a prophetic word personally, one-on-one, said, "Jeff, I have a word I sense from the Lord for you." Almost the same thing that was spoken over me in Los Angeles. Totally different person, different city, a week or two later. And then I was leading a group. We had a group that was getting ready to go on a mission trip, and we were partnering with another church, and the pastor was a dear friend of mine, and we were in southern Indiana, and we came, and there was a church gathering before we were going to break out and begin to get do some preparation for our mission trip. So I remember we came in. I'd never been in this church before. I sat down, and it's not a big church, but it was pretty packed. And I didn't know the senior pastor. I knew the associate pastor, and the senior pastor's up, and he's talking, and he stops, and he points to me, and he gives me a word from God in the midst of that meeting. How many of you know maybe what that word might have been? Pretty much the same word I'd gotten in Cincinnati and the same word I'd gotten in Los Angeles. Now, you know what? How do you explain that unless it's the Spirit of God who's everywhere, all at the same time, all knowing? He knew how to speak to my heart in a way that was absolutely convicting and convincing. Amen? I could go on with all kinds. I'll maybe reference another one or two along the way. But this is so very important. Prophecy is inspiring. Prophecy is inspiring. It's the first thing I want to share with you about the gift of prophecy. Inspiring literally means breathed of God. Imagine how powerful it would be. Imagine how powerful it would be, church, if the God of this universe would speak to you in such a way that you could speak to others words that would change their life. Imagine how powerful that would be if every single one of us, if God unlocked something here today in our hearts and our spirits where we began to hear him in a fresh new way, living words, words revealed by God that would change other people's lives. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 1, and then we'll skip to 3, says this: follow the way of love and eagerly, everybody say eagerly, desire gifts of the Spirit, comma. Now look what it says. Especially what? You ever notice that? Why does God emphasize out of the 9 spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, why does he enunciate above all of them this gift of prophecy? And I got to tell you, because it's life-changing. Because it's life-changing. One of the first times that God ever worked by prophecy, I didn't know what to think. It startled me. And yet I knew because of the way it was ministered, and I knew because of what was said that it was something so precious and so powerful from God's heart himself. It touched me. It changed me. Church, we should have an appetite, a real hunger, a deep desire, eager desire for the gifts of God, especially prophecy. You ever gotten hungry for something? I was hungry for pizza this last week. How many of you ever get hungry for pizza? I get hungry for pizza quite often because I have the gift of eating, and I'm very discerning about my food. You know, it's just a spiritual gift and calling I have. Maybe you have it too. But I got hungry for that, and boy, did I find a good slice of New York-style pizza. You know, it was really yummy. It was really tasty. And my wife, she happened to have a hunger for a big slab of marshmallow treat. So, and she shared it with me. It was really nice. She shared her gift with me. You know, we get hungry for things in the physical. How many of you ever get hungry for things in the spiritual? I don't know about you, but unless we start getting hungry for some of these things that are of God, our lives are just going to be normal. We're not going to make much of a difference. But I'm telling you, I've seen the gifts of God used correctly to build up the body of Christ and the individuals within the body of Christ. And I hunger and I eagerly desire our body, New Song Christian Fellowship, to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way that you are supernaturally but naturally giving words to others that unlock things, that encourage things, that do things in their life that bring transformation and change. We should have an appetite. Verse 3, listen to what verse 3 says. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their, can you read these three words with me? They're really important. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Some of you are going, well, I don't know if I could prophesy. Does that mean I have to predict the future, Pastor Jeff? No, it doesn't. The New Testament gift of prophecy is really centered on two things. This passage here, a New Testament person who's moving in the prophetic strengthens people, encourages people, and comforts people. In Revelation, it says this, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So really in the New Testament, you're doing two things. You're building people up. You're stirring people up. You're lifting people up. And you're bringing them into a closer proximity with Jesus. They're learning about Jesus and his love for them. Let me read verse 3 again. But the one who prophesies. In other words, folks, you get to participate. And this has always been God's plan, and I love this about God's plan. We get to be in the game for God's glory. God's not just going to do it all without us. He wants to do it with us. I loved the scripture being read this morning by one of our precious young people about the Great Commission. Commission literally means together on mission. We are on mission together with God. God wants to use your life to advance his kingdom in this world. And this is one of the ways that I don't think you've probably even thought about, but he really wants to use you in this way. Prophecy is basically this, and let me just give you a quick and simple definition. Prophecy is God using ordinary people to speak to other people on his behalf. Now, hopefully that just helps you understand. This isn't something so complex, so difficult, so much just for the elite. You know, we still tend to have this idea in our minds that there's the spiritual elite. No, this is for everybody to participate. This is why the prophecy in Joel says, all my sons and daughters, all flesh is going to prophesy. This is why Moses, even in the Old Testament, was hungering and longing for the day when God would pour out his spirit on all of his people and prophecy would happen. What would change in your life if you brought the Holy Spirit into every conversation you had? want you to write that down. I want you to think about that. I want that to drop into your heart. I want you to, I'm going to give you some keys here, some thoughts about this that I really hope stir you. What would happen if you brought the Holy Spirit into every conversation you had? That every conversation, there was at least a portion of it that was birthed and nurtured by the Holy Spirit's presence, flowing in and through your life. Now, there's three questions that I think we can ask. And I really want you to get this, church. Please get it. Don't miss this morning. The first question is simply this. What can I say that would help them to keep going? What can I say that would help them to keep going? The verse we just looked at, remember? The one who prophesies, speak to people for their strengthening. How many of you know that you're around a whole lot of people every single week of your life that absolutely need strengthening? Some of whom are on the brink of giving up. So much so that some of them are on the brink of literally possibly taking their own lives. I was shocked, you know, that I try to keep in touch with youth culture, and there was a youth program that came out. There's actually been two iterations of it called 13 Reasons Why, where it looked into a young lady who took her life, and there were 13 episodes, and each one explored part of the reason why she ended up at that terrible place of taking her life. And I don't know all the motives behind those who made these things, but the data is absolutely conclusive now that after this, an increased number of young people who were watching that program have taken their lives. It's taken the numbers quite higher. And there's enough hard data out there to basically make that conclusive thought that this program alone inspired horribly a number of young people to take their lives. What if every day, as you were going through your day, and the people God was bringing in front of you, and wherever it was, however you came across them, what if you were just asking this question to the Holy Spirit, maybe just a silent prayer? What can I say that would help them keep going? Because they might be on the very brink of despair. They might be dealing with deep depression. They might be thinking about taking their own lives. What would happen if you asked God this question? It's a simple question, but it can be a powerful outcome at times. One of the darkest moments of my life, I was a teenager. I was going through some relational challenges and some stuff that had just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I was so down. I can still remember this just so powerfully, and I didn't know what to do. And I got a break. I was at work, and I got a break, and I was just crying out, and I was really down. When I went back to work, and I didn't want to be there, and I was forcing myself just to stay because I just felt so despondent. And wouldn't you know, God sent a person in, a friend. And they came up, and I was checking them out at my workplace, and they just looked at me and said, "You know what, I have something from the Lord for you." And this person said, "God loves you." That's it. That was it. It was that simple. But it was that powerful and profound that in that moment, those words just broke something off my heart and spirit. And I felt a breakthrough. I felt God's love in a real and manifest way. It was powerful. You know what? Might be one of the things that the Lord just gives you for people. You know, just saying to them, God loves them. You cannot assume in the world we live in today that people know that God loves them. You can't assume that. And you know what? If you're struggling and thinking, well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not. You ever been in that place? It's okay. But you can just qualify it and say, you know, maybe you already know this, but I just sense to tell you that God loves you. I'm telling you, folks, you do that, you be faithful to that, you allow the Lord to speak that through you, you allow the Lord to prompt you to do that. Just you hearing me talk about this today, there's going to be a scenario in your life where you're going to sense the Lord, the Holy Spirit prompting you to say to somebody that God loves them. And it might be the key that changes everything for them. It might be the breakthrough that they absolutely need. How many of you hear me this morning? We make this way too difficult. You might not hear anything. It's okay. But would you ask the question? Would you ask the Holy Spirit the question? Will you listen on the inside? This isn't going to be a booming voice from heaven. There's only two or three occasions where that happens in Scripture, and it's all revolving around Jesus, where God the Father speaks a verbal word that comes out of the heavens. You're going to hear on the inside because Jesus lives on the inside of you. Because the Holy Spirit fills you and is upon you. You're going to hear and sense that leading from God. So what if you ask that question? What can I say that would help them to keep going? What if when you were sitting down to have a meeting or you were sitting down with the family at dinner or wherever you are, you just ask that question? What can I say to each member around the table that would help them keep going? Folks, I'm telling you, it's not that hard if we'll just listen. Secondly, what has God spoken to them that I can confirm? What has God spoken to them that I can confirm? Remember the word encouragement that was in that scripture. Prophecy is for encouragement. It means to stir people up. You know how many people there are out there that doubt they can even hear God's voice? And sometimes they just need another human being to confirm it for them. That's why the community of the church was formed in the first place, folks, so that we could have constant companionship and community, which we all desperately need, and constant confirmation. So that as you're seeking the Lord and you're beginning to hear, God's got somebody there to speak to you, to confirm His will in your life. I'm telling you, God's good at this stuff. And God's so willing to want to use every one of us if we'll just say, God, I'm open. I'm ready to be used of you. In my home, I'm telling you, God's voice in my home almost always sounds like the voice of Tracy. It's really interesting how that happens. You know, I'll be wrestling with something, and honey, what do you think about this? Would you pray with me about this? And God will give her a word. And it'll be a word to confirm, or it'll be a word to bring caution. And I'll have to test it, and we'll weigh it, and we'll pray together on it. But it's amazing how often the voice of God sounds like Tracy. I love it. Sometimes the voice of God sounds like my kids. It's been more than one occasion where this young man on the front row who I love so dearly or my daughter will say something and it'll just penetrate my heart. And I'm going, they probably don't even know that they just spoke something from God's heart to their dad. But they did. God can use you. He really wants to use you. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying here this morning? I can't tell you how many times God has used someone to confirm what He's already been speaking to me personally. Now, when somebody came to me, and this has happened a few times, with something that was so far off in left field, like the young lady that came to me long ago and said, I prophesied that I'm going to marry you, and I knew that was absolutely not God. We just put that way over there in left field. We didn't grab onto that and hold on to that. I knew that was not the Lord. But when it was right on, wow, grab hold of it, test it, hold on to what is God. Sometimes the Lord just says, you know, or will just say to you, tell them to go with what God's been speaking to them. See, you don't have to know all the details. Sometimes we're so hesitant because we think we've got to read someone's mail. You know, we've got to We've seen this maybe in a televangelist or something, and we think, you know, well, if I'm going to move in the gifts of the Spirit, then, you know, I've got to step up there and I got to tell them what their birthday is, and I got to tell them, you know, what they ate for breakfast yesterday, and then I got to tell them what their, you know, favorite color is, and all these things. No. See, again, we're way overcomplicating it and making it something it's not. Strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. The Lord made to say, for you to say to someone, you know what? Those things that God's been speaking to you, you need to move out in obedience to that. You don't have to sit there and tell them everything it is. You're just being obedient to what the Lord's speaking to your spirit for their spirit. God knows how to do this if we'll just allow Him to nudge us forward and to use us and to speak through us. Ask, listen, and obey. What pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort? I mean, we're living in a broken world, a really hurting world. It's a big one. It's so important. Have you noticed, by the way, how God uses prophecy in multiple ways? We've just been talking about this, strengthen or build up, to encourage or stir up, to comfort or lift up. God is a God of comfort. God is a God of healing. God is a God of restoration, Doug. He knows how to restore relationships. He knows how to restore broken bodies. He knows how to restore wounded spirits. And God wants to use you to help bring comfort to people. Listen, you ask this question, what pain have they experienced that God wants to comfort? It'll keep you busy because there's a lot of pain around you wherever God is leading you. And God will use you to help those who are hurting. He wants to use you to bring words that will bring healing to them. Now, I know some of you here, you may be struggling too, but listen, when you begin to be a vessel of comfort, boy, will you ever receive the comfort you need. There's just something about the giving and the receiving that's such a wonderful thing. We're wounded healers, but let God use you. Number two, prophecy is miraculous. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25 says this, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they're convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. God does show things at times. There may be times you have a prompting and you're like, oh, I'm not sure about that. Again, you know what? This is not the Old Testament. If you get it a little bit wrong, nobody's going to execute you, okay? We're not under that law. Please understand that. It's okay. You're learning how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You just use a qualifier. You know, I don't know if this settles with you or not, or if this is something, but here's what I'm sensing. I had someone speak something over my life this week at the conference, and quite honestly, it was kind of out there in left field, and I thought, okay, well, that's fine, but I don't really sense that. I don't really sense that. It doesn't have to freak you out or throw you off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's miraculous, though. God can reveal things in a way that opens people's hearts. And look what Scripture says. They'll exclaim, God is really among you. Isn't that what we long for? When we gather together on Sunday mornings, don't we long for God to be really among us? Don't we long for those that we invite, those outside in this community that come in, for them to experience the presence of God? I mean, I love slick presentations and cool stuff and all that just as much as the next guy. But I'm telling you what, this stuff won't change a heart eternally. It's good and we ought to have it, but when God is among His people and moving in and through His people, lives change. Destinies are altered. I want to experience God. I want to encounter God. I want the truth of God to set people free. And this is why I'm saying to you this morning, we all need to ask God to allow us to prophesy to others. This is why Scripture says, and it says it in more than one place, desire, eagerly desire to prophesy. Hunger for it. Let me just unpack the Greek word for you for a moment. It's the Greek word zaleo. Zaleo, it's where we get the English word zeal. It means to literally, zealously be in the pursuit of that which is good. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you have zealously been in pursuit of the good gifts of God that you might transform somebody else's life? A lot of us would probably not be able to answer in the affirmative on that. Might be a little embarrassed about that. This is what Scripture's saying, guys. We need to pray about this. We need to ask the Lord about this. God, why am I not asking zealously? Listen to what else it means. It means to strive after. So some of us, we're striving after all kinds of things. Are we striving after the gifts of God? It means to desire earnestly. Listen to this. It means to have a form of jealousy as of a husband or as of God. In other words, it means to really desire it, folks. Are we really desiring it? Now see, here's the key about the gifts of God, and this is one of those things that I think we always miss it on. It's for others. It's for others. Your life's supposed to make a difference for others. If your life's not making as much of a difference, it might be because you're not hungering for the things that God would want to flow through you to others. Please, please, please realize we all have a limited time. And God wants to use your life to make a difference. Hunger, hunger, hunger for the things of God. We are the people of God, doing the work of God, speaking the truth of God in love so people can be set free and find Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Amen? It's a miracle. You've been praying for a miracle. Some of you have. You've been praying for a miracle. But here's the problem. You thought the miracle was out there. You thought the miracle was kind of independent of you. You thought God was just going to do a miracle. Come on, God, do a miracle. And God says, yeah, I want to do a miracle through you. I want to reveal some things to you that are going to unlock something for someone else. I've seen people called to ministry because of the gift of prophecy at work. I've seen people healed from such bondage because of the gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about some big elaborate thing in front of some major crowd. I'm talking about something ministered just one-on-one in a personal and powerful and very precious way. So honoring to the person, but speaking to their heart and their spirit in such a way that God was moving and transforming. God wants to do a miracle through you. A word of God spoken at the right time with the right spirit can absolutely be miraculous. Amen? All right, prophecy is listening, and we'll close with this. Prophecy is listening. In John chapter 10, verse 27, I love this verse. Listen to it. My sheep. How many of you consider yourself one of his sheep? Everybody say, bah. No, I'm just kidding. My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Let me put it this way. Listening is intimacy. And God has always wanted intimacy. It's that simple. Will you listen to what God would speak to you? Would you ask those questions when you're around others? Lord, how can I help them to keep going? How can I bring some comfort to them today? How can I bring some encouragement to them today? How can I confirm what you're already doing in their life today? Listening's friendship. You don't have intimacy. You don't even have friendship without listening. Listening's relationship. And God has always wanted that with you. And he wants to use you to touch someone just like you that's out there and struggling. That's what prophecy is really all about. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says this, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord's made them both. Jesus says, one of the most often repeated statements of Jesus in the New Testament, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So important to listen to what the Spirit of God's saying. I'm just telling you this. My own personal experience is this. When I go into a meeting or I go into, you know, or I'm spending time with someone, if I will ask, God will almost always answer. If I get distracted and talking about the ball game and talking about the weather and talking about this, that, and the other, and I forget to ask, most of the time, I'll leave and that person will leave and we'll have had nothing but a very temporary encounter. But if I ask and I listen, God almost always has something to bring. And he can do it through you too. And he wants to. I think it's clear in his word, and I think it's a part of his will for your life. I'm going to give you four little sentences. In fact, here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray them together. You might even make this just a part of your everyday prayer time. I have little things I pray before the Lord every day. I get on my knees, I humble myself before him. This is a great one, just to make a part of your daily time with God. Give me eyes to see, Lord. Give me ears to hear. Give me a mind to understand. And give me a heart to believe. Would you stand with me and would you pray this with me as we close today? I hope you're hungry for more of God flowing through you. I hope you'll pray these words daily. I hope you'll pray those three questions. I hope you'll go into meetings and encounters with other people, listening and open to what the Lord would speak through you. The testimonies would be so widespread. So many lives would be changed if we just simply obey the Lord like this. Do you pray it with me? Let's use our outside voice, okay? Let's make it nice and loud before the Lord. Ready? Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.